Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Well, you're looking good this morning. Let me get this thing on and functioning and working and give it a good kick or a rev or something. It's not like the ones you used to... No, anyway, that's... I'm not that old, really. Sort of. Wow, how are we doing? You're looking great today, and so good for those who are joining us online. Love the fact that you're here with us and a part of this morning. For those who don't know, my name is Ken, and I've got the privilege of sharing the word this morning, and I'm on team here, which is fantastic. Okay, well, we're going to continue what Pastor Ken and Chrissy started last week in this month of wholeness. Didn't they speak an amazing word last week? I just love their authenticity and the practical keys that they gave us in relation to wholeness. And so we're going to continue that, as I said, today. You know, but right from the start, let me make a confession. This is a journey that, particularly in my early years as a leader, this journey of wholeness I really struggled with. And that's partly because back in the day when I was young, we were taught to hide our brokenness. We were taught to wear our happy Sunday smile and then go home and live our lives of confusion, frustration, challenge, thinking that we were different to all of the other happy people that were at church. Thank God those days have changed. Thank God that we've learned to be more authentic. And I pray becoming even more authentic in our journey, because that is such a key to living the life that God wants us to live. We're going to read a passage this morning that Pastor Ken and Chrissy used last week. And I want to share some thoughts out of that have helped me in my journey towards wholeness. Is that okay?
Yeah.
We're going to read from Mark chapter 5, verse 24 through to 34. So if you're watching online, please join with us and read there as well. And it says this: so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Or as Pastor Ken and Chrissy said last week, that go in peace and be freed, or be made whole, is that word sozo. Whole, body, mind, spirit. To be made whole. So the title of my sermon this morning is Wholeness is Waiting for You. Wholeness is waiting for you. You see, this lady was struggling with a lack of wholeness. And I'd like to suggest that the medical issue was only a part of her struggle. This lady would also have been feeling the pain of separation. Because of her issue, she had been labeled unclean. That meant that she could not go out in public and touch and interact with other people. In fact, she had to ring a bell everywhere she went and call out, unclean, unclean. And so people would deliberately avoid her. Nobody wanted to be touched by an unclean person because that then would have made them unclean. You know, for 12 years, she wouldn't have had a hug from her family. For 12 years, she would have been isolated from the people that she loved and she cared about. See, our challenges with brokenness, and brokenness is an issue we all share together. Most of us are like the rest of us. We all have areas of challenge, of struggle, of history in our lives. And our challenges with brokenness are not just what happens to us. It's not the things that throw us off balance in life. But those things that cause brokenness can cause disconnection and separation relationally in our lives. Can throw us off balance relationally. You see, we were all created by God for connection. We are neurobiologically wired for connection with God and with others. That's how He's made us. We were created for love and acceptance. Any amount of people can love you and you just feel good. One person rejects you and how do you feel? You see, we were never created to be able to handle rejection. We will do whatever we can to avoid rejection. Connection with God and people is what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. You see, a lack of wholeness will always lead to a level of disconnection in our life. When I was quite young, I was sexually abused. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell anyone. I pushed it down and I hid it because of the guilt and the shame that I felt. It wasn't until many, many years later, I was a pastor, that I realized that I knew everything about everyone. People came and told me their thing, but nobody knew anything about me. The very people that I so loved and cared for and wanted to connect with, that I wanted to disciple, I wouldn't let close. And I found myself lonely and disconnected, doing the job, caring about people, but not truly being able to connect with them. Oh, I could empathize with them, but nobody knew my heart or where I was and what was going on in my life. We all have stories. We all have things that disconnect us from people and from the relationships that we so want. It's like, you know, come, be a part of my world. But just don't get too close. Because I don't want you to really know deep down who I am. Because I'm afraid that if you knew some of the things in my life, you'd reject me. We all fear the pain of rejection. And we'll do anything, like I said, to avoid it. To keep it distant. But you know, we were created for love and acceptance. We were created to belong relationally and to be close We were never created, as I said, to handle rejection. You see, a lack of wholeness will always be connected somewhere to guilt and shame and fear. That sense inside that, I'm not quite good enough. I'm not quite worthy. That sense of insecurity in certain times. The inability to give ourselves and get close. I talk to so many people who are married. People wonder why. Why can't I love? Why can't I be loved? Like I want to and like I need to. What's missing? So often, it's because something inside is not quite right. And there's a sense of disconnection. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, well, people online, you know what I'm talking about, right? You get it. I'm not even going to look at them. I'm looking at you. Is it true or am I talking rubbish? It's true, isn't it? We all know at different times that sense of feeling disconnected. But, you know, because most of us are like the rest of us, we all need to be on the journey to wholeness. And so I want to look at three keys that I've discovered from this passage that I think can help us experience wholeness. They certainly help me and lead to greater connection in our lives and fruitfulness in our lives, because the Bible tells us that Jesus came to give us abundant life, not to stagger through life, not to kind of, you know, get by. He came to give us abundant life. And I want to tell you today, unequivocally, that wholeness is waiting for you. Just as it's waiting for me. So from this passage, the first thing I want to look at is that word courage. You see, it takes courage to engage with wholeness. Courage is an expression of faith. Jesus said that the lady, your faith has made you whole. The expression of her faith was the courage that she showed in going to Jesus. Her faith was demonstrated. To walk into the wholeness, she needed to move out of her comfort zone and decide that it was worth the effort to connect with the Savior. She had to make her way through the crowd, believing that Jesus would meet a need and that she was worth it. That there was something there. You see, it's so easy to make excuses for why we are like we are. Oh, that's just me. That's just how I am. Well, is that how God sees you? Yeah. Is that the best God has got for you? Yeah, is that where He wants you to camp? He wants the best us. And so, you know, we it's so easy to learn to manage and control things. We learn to manage our fears. We learn to manage circumstances. We learn to control things and avoid things so that, you know, we can navigate around our dysfunction. Oh boy, I lived there for years. Just doing our best. But friends, it takes courage to break out of the ruts. It takes courage to go through the crowd. But you're worth it. God sees and says, you're worth it. Yeah. This is your destiny. To keep pushing. See, sometimes life isn't fair. I thought I'd get a big amen to that. Sometimes life is not. It sucks. We all know what that means. But Jesus considers you worthy of wholeness. Yes, absolutely. He considers you worthy. And so by faith, you have to come into agreement with what He says about you. Yes. And what He offers you by way of wholeness. Because it's waiting for you. Jesus died to demonstrate your value. There's nothing more He can do that puts more value on you than His death. It says, I love you and I care for you. You see, it takes courage to admit that we're imperfect and need help. Do you know the original definition of the word courage in the Old English language? It meant to tell the story of who you really are with
your whole heart. Courage means to actually be authentic. To be authentic. To dare to be the true you.
You know, I had to do that with my dysfunction from sexual abuse. I had to admit to myself how much of a limp I walked with. I wouldn't, for fear, look at my dysfunction. And it wasn't until I actually went to a seminar on sexual abuse, because I had people coming to me who were wanting help. And so I went to this seminar not even thinking about myself, because I'd pushed it down, I'd buried it, I'd built walls around it. I went to this seminar, and the lecturer in the very first lecture, he started talking about the symptoms, the different symptoms of sexual abuse, and every single one he said, I went, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. And it hit me for the first time how much of a limp I walked with, how dysfunctional I was in areas of my life and relationally. And it all started to connect. Why? I wouldn't let people close. Why I wouldn't let people into my heart. Why I found it so hard to trust. Why I feared rejection so much. You know, despite what I knew and felt about myself, I had to actually start to believe what he said about me. I actually had to start to agree with his word. The wholeness was waiting for me. Friends, wholeness is waiting for you in your journey, whatever that is. We all have a journey, as I said. Thank God that he could make sense out of my confusion and dysfunction if I had the courage to be authentic. Boy, it's gone quiet. I'm sorry. The second thing that I see in this passage revolves around that big, little, horrible word, vulnerability. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? Who likes to be vulnerable? Okay? Who likes to be vulnerable online? None of us like to be vulnerable, right? It's scary. But vulnerability is so necessary in this journey to wholeness. It's so countercultural to the way that our society lives and presents itself. You know, we're always told, and the pressure of society is always to present ourselves in the best possible light, to put on this image that we want to be who people think we should be and who we think people think we should be. How dumb is that? But that's it. That's what fashion is all about. Crazy. You spend $80 on a t-shirt. It's a t-shirt. Nobody can even see the label at the back. Sorry. See, we try and numb vulnerability because we don't like not being in control. We all want to be in control. We don't like to face the possibility of rejection. See, here's the problem. When we try and numb vulnerability, we're really trying to numb grief, pain, memories, inadequacies, insecurity. Those are the things that we're trying to numb. We don't want those kind of emotions. We don't want those feelings in our lives. So we often self-medicate. Do you know, so many people have habits as a means of self-medication.
people turn to different things and are involved in different things, and it's all self-medication. But the problem with that is that it just leads to further dislocation. Yeah. It leads to further hiding, further guilt, further shame, further, I don't want people to know this about me. You see, what happens, and the real challenge is that you cannot selectively numb emotion. When you try and numb those bad things, you're also numbing good emotions. Yeah. Things like love, peace, compassion, joy, gratitude. Those things also get numbed. And here's the challenge. It's those things that actually connect us to people. So when we try and numb those things, we end up numbing the very things that are the things that help us to connect and relate to people and go deeper in our relationships. It causes further disconnection. The lady in this account that we read, she had to become vulnerable. Wholeness required herself to be vulnerable because despite the challenges, she decided to push into the crowd. Whatever it took, she was going to get to Jesus. She took a massive risk. There again is her faith in action. That's why Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Her faith, the expression of her faith, was her courage and her vulnerability. She began to push into the crowd. The problem was that every person she touched, she made unclean. But she did it anyway, hoping that nobody would notice. And then the thing that would have been the dread of her life happened. Jesus stops in the middle of the crowd and he says, "Who touched me?" Does she hide? Does she run? What does she do? Because right now, she stands being totally exposed by Jesus. Does she admit? The Bible says, we read that she decided to tell him the whole truth about her. In fear, in trembling, in trepidation, was he going to expose her in front of everybody? They would have been very unhappy campers to know that she had made them unclean because of the process it took them to go through to become clean again. You know, I love Jesus' response. And this is the response you can expect from him when you're vulnerable. Yes. Jesus says, Daughter, your faith has made you not just healed, but whole. If you ever want an inclusive word, if you ever want a word of belonging, if you ever want a word of gathering and acceptance, if you ever want a word that conjures up within the heart of a father something, it's the word daughter. Jesus is saying to her, you belong. Now you're mine. I'm going to protect you and cover you. I'm going to keep you safe. Because you're prepared to be vulnerable. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to help you. And I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to restore you. Because wholeness is waiting for you. Amen. I'm going to make you better. I love that about Jesus. You know, for me, my breakthrough came when I realized that I'd built a wall around my pain. Isn't it easy to do that? We build a wall around our pain that goes, I'm never going to be used like that again. I'm never going to be vulnerable like that again. I'm never going to be hurt like that again. I'm never going to be in a place of vulnerability like that again. And so what we do, we build walls in our lives and go, okay, nobody's going there. I'm not letting anybody into that part of my life, because if they knew that, I ain't risking the rejection and the thoughts and the judgment and the stigma that could come. So we build these walls. You know, I had to get vulnerable. And I decided that there was only one person that could really help me. That was him. And I had to give him the key to the door of that walled area. It's okay, you take it. And whatever you do, it's okay. I just need to be whole. I just so need to be whole. You take the key to that area of my life. Boy. Is that scary? I was terrified, because I never knew what he was going to do with the key, whether he was going to expose me to. I didn't know how my family would react. I didn't know how Melanie would react. I didn't know how the church would react. I had no idea. But I knew I needed to be honest and give him the key and say, hey, whatever you do, I need to be whole. Friends, that's what we need to do. Give him the key. You know what I found? He didn't expose me by throwing open the door. But what he began to do is remove brick at a time from that wall. And every brick he removed, a little bit more light came in. Until one day I could see there was enough light to see the grief and the guilt and the shame and know that you are not going to control me any longer. You are not going to be a part of my life. You are not going to have your say. I'm not scared of you anymore, because there's a Savior who's shining light and health and wholeness into my heart, into my life, because I gave him the key to that area. You see, if we're not prepared to be vulnerable, what we do is we continue to hold the key to those areas of our life and say, it's okay, I'll manage. I've got this. Rather than letting him bring wholeness and healing. Is this okay? Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, let me just say this. When I'm talking about vulnerability, I am not talking about wearing your heart on your sleeve. That's ugly. Yeah, we all run from that. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is being vulnerable to him and making sure that we're talking to somebody who's mature enough and gracious enough to be able to help us in our journey. Because, you know, the moment it gets out, the devil can no longer accuse you. You take away that landing strip in your life where the devil constantly points and goes, yeah, but what about that? Yeah. What about that? Right. If people knew, what? You see, when you give him the keys and you tell somebody and you get help, you take that landing strip out of your life where you can say to him, you're a liar. People know I am not condemned. I'm on the path to wholeness, and wholeness is waiting for me as I engage with God. The final thing I learned from this passage is that Jesus is good, and he represents a good father. A good father. Psalm 25, verse 7 to 9 says, do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. There's a reason why Jesus said he is the good shepherd, because he is the good shepherd. That's part of his heart. That's how he defined himself, the good shepherd. You see, it's so important that we understand this, because the question of God's goodness and what we believe about that will have huge implications on our courage and vulnerability. If you don't truly know that God is good, then you're not going to truly trust him. If I don't trust Clara, then I'm not going to tell Clara anything about myself, right? The more I trust Clara, the more I let her into my world. That's how we work. Is that true? That's what happens. See, if God is not good, why would I trust him? Why would I be vulnerable if I don't really know he's good? You see, we all need an ongoing revelation of the goodness of God that allows us to step in with courage and vulnerability into what he has for us. You see, that in many respects is kind of summed up in this word humility. You know, so often we think, oh, I've got to keep surrendering this thing. I've got to keep surrendering. We come up on altar calls and we don't tell anyone, but we get prayed because we're surrendering it. Do you know that surrender is not a New Testament concept or word? That's controversial. It's not mentioned in the New Testament. The Old Testament, surrender was when you were humiliated, you were defeated, you came on your knees because it was all over. It was a humiliating experience. God is not calling us to humiliation, but what he's calling us to is humility. Humility is when we come going, you are God, you are great, you are good, and I willingly give myself to you. With openness and authenticity. That's what humility is. Humility says, I can't do it, but you can, because you're good and you love me and you care for me. Yeah. That's what humility is. Yeah. And so we come with a humility that says, hey, I'm giving you the key. I'm giving you control. I'm letting you do what only you can do, because I need you. Because I want to engage in the journey of wholeness. You see, we place ourselves in his care when we act with courage and vulnerability and humility that understands his goodness. Did you hear that? We place ourselves in his hand when we come with courage and vulnerability and humility that understands he is good and it is there for us, because he is the good shepherd. And when we do that, we begin to live the journey of faith where he says, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Friends, wholeness is waiting for you. And it's waiting for me. Those who are watching online, wholeness is waiting for you. Because God loves you and he's good. He cares about us. And he built us for connection. And he wants to heal us from the things that disconnect us. Because it's in connection that we're truly fruitful and find our purpose. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and ask the band to come. I want to talk for a moment to those who, you might be here today and you've never experienced the goodness of God because you don't know him. Maybe online you're watching this morning and you're sitting. In fact, there's somebody and you're watching and you've been so confused. You've turned this on. You've got a heart so full of questions about God and his goodness. I want to say to you today, God is good. And if we'll humble ourselves, that's all of us, if we'll humble ourselves and with courage be vulnerable and say, hey, God, I need you in my life. I need your help. I want to stop fighting and struggling, but I want you to come into my life and be my Savior. I want you to walk with me, and just like that lady had to push her way through the crowd, this is your act of courage and vulnerability, of reaching to touch the hem of his garment by saying, Jesus, I want your forgiveness and I want you in my life. I want your forgiveness and I want your grace to help me to be who you created me to be. I want there to be healing in my relationships and in my own attitude to myself. And so today, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, while every head is bowed, this is a private moment. I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand, and I'm going to include you in a prayer that we're all going to pray. We're going to pray that Jesus would come and visit you. If you're watching online, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to lift your hand as an act. But God will see it. I can't see it, but he can. And he will respond, and you're going to be a part of this prayer as well. So who's going to lift the hand today? Say, Jesus, I want you in my life. God bless you there, mate. So good. So good. I tell you, mate, he sees you today. He sees you today, and he's going to respond. Somebody else today, you're saying, Jesus, I need you in my heart. I want you to come, be a part of my life, lead me to wholeness. Somebody else today, quickly. Yeah, God bless you over there, sir. So good, so good. Thank you for your courage. God will honor you, brother. He will honor you. In fact, God has got something good for you. He's been talking to you for a while, right? He's got something good for you, man. He's going to visit you today in a great way. Anybody else quickly today? Just quickly. I don't want to prolong this service. Come on, family, let's pray. You pray this online too if you made this decision. Dear Jesus, I come to you today and I humble myself and I say, I need you. I want you in my life. I want to be forgiven and I want to be whole. Forgive me and come and be Lord of my life. Help me and show me who you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a great hand this morning. So good, guys. Somebody will come to you after service and give you a Bible and just help you in the start of your journey. So good, guys. Amazing. So good. You're more than welcome also to visit and come into our welcome lounge there, and love to meet with you and connect with you. For the rest of us, time has gone. The rain has come. You know, though, whether you, again, are watching online or you're here today, I'd like to pray for you in your journey for wholeness. Because wholeness is waiting for you. Today, if you know that there's an area that you need to give him the key, you know there's an area where relationships are damaged, where you just know you don't connect the way you want to, or there's an area that you've grappled with shame. We're not going to expose that this morning, but I want you to, as an act of faith, to come. We're going to pray as an act of courage, vulnerability, to let God into that space, and you watch what he does. You watch the healing that he brings, because wholeness is waiting for you.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.